What if this is a live podcast? Like,
it would be a train wreck. First of all, we couldn't have done the episode where you announced your home address on the air.
That's true. I bleeped it out.
Yeah.
I did bleep it out. Wait, which episode was that? Oh, that was 405?
No, it was 321.
321?
Allie was there.
That's right. Okay. And then address again is...
Don't do this. Kevin!
I won't. Okay, I'll cut that out.
Just bleep it again.
I will.
Why do you keep doing
that? But now we have to do something else for the cold open.
Wait, no, I think that should be the cold open.
I don't know.
La la la, la la, episode 408.
Die jerk. The jerk.
Steve Martin. The jerk store called. They said you should die.
That's not the line. The jerk store called. They said that you should die. Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are
The Gilmore guys.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace, because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website, so exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace, so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. Guys, thank you for joining us for another episode. And what an episode.
What an episode.
When we did a cursory, just kind of like doing an overview of the season, I tweeted out, what do you guys think are some of the best episodes of the season? And what do you think are the worst? So that we wouldn't assign someone who's like totally new to the show and never seen it before to like the worst episodes, like if my memory failed me or something.
Right.
And a lot of people put 408 as one of the worst episodes.
Really?
Yeah, which I very much disagree with.
It's a fun episode.
Very fun. I don't know why those negative netties out there got to be so neggy.
Y'all being haters.
Yeah. And they're going to hate, but you know. But yeah, 408 sounds real great. So let's not wait and stay too late with our guest because she's super, super great.
La la.
Sorry.
La la.
A special guest. Well, of course you know her from Friday Night Lights. Of course you know her from Bunheads. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Stacey Oristano.
What's up? I do have one question.
Yes.
Is this where Scott Patterson sat?
Yeah.
It is.
Right here in this very seat?
Mm-hmm. Right there.
Oh my God, you guys.
You're in the hot seat. The Scott seat, if you will. Welcome to the Scott box.
Pitter patter with Scott.
Yeah. If you had to give us a few suggestions or tips as interviewers for the Scott interview, what would you say we could improve on next time to get the juicy gossip and bits?
Alcohol.
Get more alcohol. Just loosen everyone up.
Yeah.
Everyone was pretty loose.
We should have done a power hour with Scott. We'll play the theme song, and then after a minute, we each take a shot.
Mm-hmm. Anytime anyone says Gilmore, you have to take a shot.
Oh,
the
my
whole
gosh.
Interview.
I would just refer to
that
it
now.
As
so
the
on
show.
Gilmore Girls.
Why do you keep saying it?
I hate this.
Stacey,
now.
Stop chanting.
Gilmore. Oh, man. Okay, so more alcohol, looser environment. To be fair, I want to point this out. We took the picture with him before we recorded.
Yeah.
And the picture that's circulating is us with him sprawled out on our legs, like on our laps.
Yeah.
The picture was his idea, and we did it before we recorded.
Yeah. So he's already super comfy.
Yeah. So like in the first 5 minutes of knowing us as people, he's like, yeah, let's do this.
He's like, these are some cool dudes.
Super fun. Yeah, he could tell. He just, you know, sometimes you get a sense for people.
If we were DVD covers, it would just be like, these are some cool dudes, Scott Patterson.
Oh, that would be the blurb.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. This is episode 408. Now, Stacey, when we first approached you about doing season 4, when you got the call, I said, pick one of the episodes you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked this as one of the episodes. And why was that? What did you remember so fondly about this episode?
I don't know why this episode sticks out in my mind, but it does. I think...
Or were you just like texting me, Die Jerk, and it just happened to be
right.
the title of an episode?
Like, episode, Die Jerk. I think this is going to sound so cheesy, but because it was like the first mention of ballet, it made me think that, because Amy's such a huge ballet fan, that it was like her seed into Bunheads. It's purely selfish. Well,
she's hating on it pretty hard.
The Bunheads connection. I know. She's a fan, but...
Just not of that.
Not of that performance.
I bet it was like, oh yeah, you hate ballet so much, why don't you write about it? It's like, well, maybe I will.
I'll get this one right. The Netflix synopsis is Rory tries to spice up her articles for the Yale student newspaper. Luke admits to Lorelai that he and Nicole are attempting to save their marriage.
Are they?
That's not really. No, they're attempting to put a hold on their divorce.
Yeah.
Really the opposite.
It's a divorce postponement. It's not a marriage save.
Which is such a weird, like, we'll get into that, but what a weird. A
lot of weird energy
being
exchanged in this episode. But let's get into it with a little segment we call, do you want to participate with us in this one?
I think I can.
You can?
Okay. I don't know.
Okay, let's do it. Pop
goes
the culture. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I think it went well.
That went 100% better than what we usually do.
Yeah.
And this is where we take every pop culture reference in the show and put them in a supercut and listen back. So this is episode 408, Die Jerk. Pop goes the culture.
Well, it's 8 Mile meets Fame.
I'm addicted to these things. So is Bob Woodward, so I hear. Not that I'm copying him.
What can you do? It's Avril Lavigne's world, and we're just living in it. Capone?
Remember the new Zoo Review?
Henrietta Hippo?
Freddy the Frog. And who was the third one? What was the third one?
I thought it was Jason Priestley.
We gotta go full out Sharon.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, please. That would be like Dorothy pissing off the Tin Man. It's impossible.
What is it, P. Digger now?
I'm Rosa Parks.
Why can't Rosa Parks come in? Cisco's chimed in. What about you?
Vincent Gallo could just see this. He'd feel a whole lot better about Brown Bunny.
Wheel of Fortune.
Thus spake Ebert.
Well, don't be shy, Emily. You're a walking Zagat guide.
There's no meaning to the word nutcracker.
My point in putting that last reference at the end was that they laughed way too much at that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was not that funny.
They say jokes way more hilarious than that all the time. But that one is like, it's the funniest thing they've ever heard.
It reminds me of like in an action movie, like in The Expendables, how in the trailer they always have to include a clip of them laughing to show they're having a good time, even though they're like out on the battlefield.
It's like one of those. Also, Zagat?
Yeah, I've never heard it said like that.
Zagat, right?
That's what I say.
I rarely hear it said out loud, but I don't. Richard pronounces things weird all the time.
Zagat. But he's super classy, so maybe that's right.
Yeah. Maybe, Zagat. Maybe Zagat he was guide. Making fun of himself. So this is an episode. Well, any other pop culture things we want to go over?
What is Brown Bunny in the new zoo review?
Okay, so Brown Bunny.
Is that Vincent Gallo movie?
Vincent Gallo movie, Chloe Sevigny.
Sevigny.
Do you know, Sevigny?
Sevigny. Yeah.
Sevigny. It's like Jerry Lewis.
Chloe
like
Sevigny.
Uncomfortable.
Sevigny.
It's a movie, I think it came out in 2003,
yeah.
I want to say. Vincent Gallo did it. I think he stars in it too.
He does.
And the most famous thing about it is that Chloe. Skip ahead, kids. Chloe performs unsimulated oral sex on him.
Gallo.
And then Roger Ebert famously panned the movie, giving it like 0 stars. It's garbage. It's indulgent art house schlock, blah, blah, blah.
So I guess that was relevant to the ballet performance.
And the new zoo review?
New zoo review was a... zoo review was... I think it was a kid's show.
It sounds like
it. And there's like different characters on the kid's show, I want to say. So Henrietta Hippo and Alfred the Owl or whatever his
Charlie
name is.
Charlie the
Owl. Is no, it Charlie the Owl?
I have no idea what this is.
Zoo review. And it's spelled with a U-E. New Zoo Review. Yeah, it's a half-hour children's television show that ran in 1972 to 1977.
Well, that would be why. I don't know it.
Yeah. Kids love New Zoo Review jokes. Oh, here's some of the characters from it. We're all looking at it now.
That looks terrifying. Yeah, that's
an acid trip.
This is insane looking.
It's like if they let the Flaming Lips be in charge of making Yo Gabba Gabba.
That's terrifying.
I don't like that at all.
That's a good way of putting it. Oh, man. Oh, this one's even creepier. Oh, wow. Well, we could do this all day. So,
welcome to the new Zoo Review, boys.
Zoo Review Review. This is the first episode in which we meet Empire co-creator, Mockingjay Part 1 co-writer.
Really?
Mr. Danny Strong.
Well.
Yeah.
Good old Danny.
Danny Strong, Jonathan.
It's the first?
Yeah.
Oh.
First one with Jonathan.
Yeah.
Or first one with Jonathan, with Doyle. With Danny Strong. Already I love him.
Oh, yeah, he's
and
great.
And he's one of those people from the Buffy universe that just got ported over pretty quickly. Because Amy was not, I would say notoriously, like she was notorious, but she was a fan of Buffy.
Big old Buffhead.
Big old Buffhead. And so she snatched up Jane Espenson for this season, and former Buffy writer Jane Espenson, and Danny Strong, former nerd trio. Did you watch Buffy?
No, I didn't.
Okay. We probably talked about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so funny to see this guy who's in such a position of power. Like, he's won Emmys for his HBO mm-hmm. movies. He's right. Like, he's doing great as a screenwriter. He's so funny in this. I think
really
he's
good.
so
yeah,
funny.
He's great.
So, speaking of casting of the episode, this is from the Gilmore Girls companion book by A.S. Berman. He talks about, years later, I got a call. Gilmore Girls wanted to see if I was available for an episode. Just completely out of the blue. This is Danny Strong talking. I couldn't do it because I was shooting Buffy. I was disappointed because I would have loved to do it. And then casting directors, Mara and Jamie, reached out again and said they had written Doyle specifically for me. It was kind of crazy to, 10 years later, have a part written for you. But they were really big Buffy fans, which I found out later. And he didn't have to audition for the role. But he was still nervous starting on such a high-profile series. We did a table read, and it was kind of scary because they offered me the part, so I didn't audition. So in a way, you feel like the table read is your audition. Because I'm the editor of the newspaper where Rory works, I'm feeling like, okay, this part could come back, and I'd love for that to happen, but you never know. So you just feel a tremendous amount of pressure at that very first table read. But I got laughs. I nailed it. I'm awesome. I'm flawless. Well,
I don't know if half of that is
a little
there.
Headstrong. Little Danny headstrong.
Headstrong.
Yeah. I love their dynamic. I love his little fake Bob Woodward, all the President's Men thing happening, which I believe that set is just a recycled Chilton set, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, definitely. They just added desks where a long table used to be.
I feel like any set where they're not outside on the Yale campus is definitely like, oh, it's Chilton again. Because why use a different set?
Yeah.
Just remove all the children insignias.
This is a episode 2 in which one of the main plots and where the title comes from is Rory goes to the ballet with her mom. Ballet's terrible. And she writes a very negative review of the ballet and of the people in it. And then they have a negative review against her, writing kind of a death threat on her dorm wall. So here's what I thought would be fun.
Oh, God. I'm terrified. No.
And we won't use names because that's not fun.
Are we going to issue death?
No, we're not going to issue death threats.
I was like, I'm not in for this.
No, we're not down for that.
Yeah.
Because we're very nice boys. We're gentlemen.
That's true.
But I thought, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we read the most negative reviews for our podcast on iTunes?
Yes.
So let's start with the first one. The title is The Worst, 1 star.
Hell yeah.
I listened to 3.5 of these hoping they'd get better. They didn't. These guys talk way too much and have nothing clever to say. 1 out of 6 listeners found this helpful.
Well, that's no hippo.
When is the Holocaust funny? Is the title of the next one. Never. It is never funny. I'm disappointed that Demi, a black man, would be okay with making light of the oppression and planned destruction of a race.
Okay.
Not okay. Be better.
Don't sort of corral me into, like, this is your, like, you should be the one standing up for this. Yeah, like,
not feeling that. This one's not what I expected. 1 star. I give it 4.5 episodes before I had to stop listening. The first three, there was about 8 minutes total of Gilmore Girls talk, and the rest was tangents. The fourth episode, they had a guest and didn't even mention Gilmore Girls until 15 minutes in. I'm out.
Shirley's first episode. People need... I mean, there's a reason we file this under comedy and not, like,
analysis.
Reporting. Yeah.
It's not a scholarly... This isn't our thesis statement.
Last episode, we spent a large amount of time... just talking about an elephant.
Well, yep.
Yeah.
Can't get through it is the name of the next one. I can't get through the first podcast. I'm 40 minutes in, parentheses. They're an hour long each, and they've commented on about 1 minute of the pilot, Luke's backwards cap, Lorelai's love of coffee, the creepy out-of-towners, and Mrs. Kim. That's it. I keep fast-forwarding to get past all the long non-Gilmore Girls-related tangents. I give up. As a huge fan of the show, I thought it'd be more about the show.
So three of those reviews I'm fine with, where they're like, I don't like this because they don't talk about the show enough. That's whatever. That's just not your show then. The one where they like blame me for the Holocaust talk.
It's a little much.
Do you want to go to that guy and say, bye jerk, bye jerk?
I do. I want to be like, how dare you? A hippo? My bra straps? Why even mention that? I'm not wearing a bra.
I didn't leave anything like that, young man.
Bye jerk, die jerk.
Okay, this next one, there's only two more.
Oh,
wish
boy.
Ever?
Yeah, well, there's some more two stars, but I don't know if they're mean enough. Wish to rank it 0 stars. This might be my favorite one.
Oh.
Listen to only 7 minutes before they insulted the fans of the show. Unentertaining chat between two uneducated kids.
Oh my god.
The irony is that this show was all about a mother and daughter who, through watching countless movies and reading books, were highly educated and culturally knowledgeable, which was appealing to the audience. Peyton Place was not lost on their audience. When these kids grow up and get a real job, I hope this podcast serves as a constant embarrassment of their ignorance.
Oh my god. Chill out. First of all, when people call us kid, that's the most condescending thing you can do. Like, we're in our mid-20s. We are adults. Like, Peyton Place is literally a reference from the 50s. It's fine that we don't understand it.
I should have saved that for last.
Yeah, you should have.
This last one, it's no refunds for time lost. Oh. 1 star. I love the Gilmore Girls and rich cultural references from the time period where I was mom to a teenage daughter, but so I was excited to see a podcast where the series was discussed. I listened to the first two podcasts and even tried to make it through number three, but couldn't. This podcast is 10% Gilmore Girls and 90% unrelated. These guys need an editor and shorter time allotment. I'm the editor.
Yeah.
So we got me. Anyway, I thought that was fun. I had a blast doing it.
I didn't.
I feel sad.
Holocaust shamed is an interesting...
Which, again, as I have said in the first season many a time, I didn't
you were never on board with
that. I was never on board.
And we've all but dropped from the show.
Yes.
Basically.
And I totally forgot until that came up again.
Yeah. So did I. So anyway, let's talk about this episode. A constant reminder of our embarrassment.
10% and 90%. That's pretty fair.
No.
If they literally measured word by word, maybe. But we still talk about the show a lot.
Like words that are Gilmore versus words that are not the word Gilmore.
Yeah. Drink twice.
Drink twice. Oh, man. Okay, so is Rory mean in this episode? Did she go too far? That's the first question I want to pose.
Yes. Here's the thing. I think she went too far, but I also think... the girl went too far to say die jerk. Like, I think it's two, like, dueling awful things.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you put your art out there, and I mean, I didn't know this in college, but I super know it now. You have to be prepared for people did not like it.
Right.
If you search my name on Twitter, there's some really bad shit out there.
Oh, man.
Really?
It's
oh.
so bad. But I love it. Like, I thrive off of it.
You should retweet it.
I do. When we would do, because they wanted us to live tweet bunheads, and I was like, okay, but you're not going to like what I do. So I find the worst shit that people say, and I'm like, thanks for watching. Oh. Love you so much.
Oh. And then your followers would be like, get after them. Wait, did they try to make Amy live tweet?
Because
she's not on Twitter,
yeah.
So I just want to see that conversation. Like, you should get on Twitter. And she's like, nope.
Nope.
I won't do it.
Not happening. Never will. Talk to the hat.
Talk to the hat.
Okay, so yeah, I agree. She goes way too far.
Yeah.
And there's a weird sort of, I kind of want to say fat shaming a little bit. Or not even fat, but body shaming, I should say. Because the girl wasn't fat, obviously.
Right.
But, like, talking about the size of the leotard and
rolls over the bra strap.
Rolls in the strap. Like, that's hideous. That's not journalism. That's Perez Hilton.
Her writing, like, which we don't hear about until after we hear about the Dijuk thing, it doesn't feel like Rory. Like, if I read a review where it was, like, talking about comparing someone to a hippo, I'd be like, Rory would never do that. That's so weird. Like, she just got really into writing this review, I guess.
I do like the line about evolution and creating man on 2 feet.
Though. Oh, yeah.
That feels like Rory.
That's fun because it's not personal. That's
yeah,
not like
not...
about someone's body.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's just like a fun line.
I did also love how much everyone delighted in reading it. Like, Richard and Emily just being like, oh, it was wonderful.
I do get a little thrill out of hearing Kelly Bishop say ballet, though. It makes me very happy.
Oh, I know. Everything was beautiful. I do like Richard's line when he said,
you honestly sliced her open and ripped out her guts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Guts.
And he's smiling that entire time. He loves it.
Oh,
another one.
Yeah.
We're collecting Richard laughs.
I love all the Richard laughs.
Yum, yum, like a long-haired cake.
Well, that wasn't him.
That's Bebe.
That's Bebe in the previous episode. But yeah, they seem to be not tuned into, at least Richard and Emily seem not to be tuned into how a girl might feel about reading that.
How a child.
Really a child, yeah, like an 18-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So funny.
So the episode starts with them talking about their trip to Atlantic City,
mm-hmm.
in which Richard passes the, where he's like, they do talk. One of them kept yelling, Wheel of Fortune, which was great. But then they get into weird talk about hookers.
Oh, yeah. Roy says that, like, can you pay a hooker for talking to you? And she says, depends on what they're doing while they're
yes.
talking to you.
Which
and Emily's
is,
like, whoa.
Right. Which is the right reaction to hear your 18-year-old granddaughter talking about, like, hookers and what you pay them for is just, like, such a weird. It's very funny because, like, this season has had so many things where it's, like, it's weird that this talk is happening. Where it's, like, almost inappropriate, but also, like, borderline, like, this shouldn't happen between a mother and daughter, you know?
Well, I do think, and I think that speaks to, we've talked about in the show before, I feel like there's a clear act one and act two of this show.
Yeah.
Like, the first three seasons are kind of a fairy tale, in a way. And Stars Hollow, the idyllicness, and how perfect Rory is. And then seasons 4, 5, 6, I don't know about 7, we'll find out. But it
oh, that's
really
right. You haven't seen it.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
I'm excited.
I'm not.
I can't wait.
I think it's going to be such treasury. And we're going to get so off topic because we're not going to want to talk about
this. I think
show.
We're going to stay on topic because we're going to be complaining so much about it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Anyway.
But the second half is like Rory, the perfection that couldn't last in college. You couldn't like sustain that like little halo the whole time. And then so you see her like kind of getting mean. And oh, also, what if she's not even like about her purity or whatever, like how kind she is to
right.
people, but then just like, oh, is she a good writer or is she just surrounded by a bunch of people like, you're amazing, you know?
I think she's like still finding her voice. Like, she's 18. You don't know your voice at 18.
Right.
So she tried something on and it didn't mm-hmm. fit. Hopefully. Much like the leotard.
Much like the leotard
much
with
like
the rolls. Say meotard to the leotard. No, nope, that wouldn't be a good show.
Say meotard.
Meotard. Oh, I want to actually talk about this. This wasn't a retarded joke, but...
Oh, with Bruce?
Baby talking retard his language acquisition rate. Is that what you want?
Definitely not. I want him fully tarded.
Is that offensive?
I thought that too.
Is it? I don't know.
I don't think it's offensive when Bruce said it, because retard is literally like...
Right, you're slow. Retarding right. The... Yeah.
But when she goes, I want him fully retarded, I was like, step too far.
Borderline.
Yes. Yeah.
Right there.
Although, when I was a kid, I remember particularly liking that line when I watched the show. When I was 13 years old when this came out, 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Didn't find it nearly as funny the second time around. Also, I want to talk about the gravitas with which Richard Gilmore says,
Emily, my business partner is going to be standing outside eating a cheeseburger.
Out of context, that line is so weird.
Eating a cheeseburger.
A cheeseburger.
How do you feel about Jason in general?
I am a huge Digger fan.
You are.
I am, and I can't. He directed a couple of Bunheads episodes, Chris, and he's
right,
super amazing. And so I'm trying to distinguish, but I think I've always been like, even before I knew Chris, I was a Digger fan.
Yeah,
I like him.
I do find his charisma as an actor very magnetic, very appealing. I enjoy watching him. He is the most interesting non-Luke interest thus far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Max is a bag of flour. Alex is who cares.
I keep forgetting about Alex.
Yeah, exactly. Billy Burke, Sheriff Twilight. But this guy's like, he's different. You may not like him, but it's definitely an interesting choice. And it's an interesting character. The sliminess, which I think they make a point to underline in this episode.
Yeah.
When he's like, well, I guess I'll go get a cheese. It's kind of gross, like the whole thing. Like, I'll get a cheeseburger from a stand. Don't worry about me.
Well, the first time he said stand, I literally thought he had like a contraption that he built that he ate a cheeseburger out of. I was like, what's wrong with you?
Like a giant, like tall table?
Just like two metal hands that he puts the cheeseburger in and like leans forward and eats. I don't know.
What?
I watched this at 2 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah, so my brain was already on the way out.
Wait, do you remember what else happens in this episode?
Nope. No.
Uh-oh.
No, I do.
But then this finally picks up from at the end of episode 406 when Digger's like, oh, go out with me.
Right.
To Lorelai. Didn't pick that up in 407. That was a Stars Hollow thing.
I still can't get a read on whether or not she's into it. It seems like she's...
Well, she can't either. She's talking to Rory about, like, is it crazy?
Like, during the dinner, if they feel like she was kind of, like, starting to dig on it a little bit.
Yeah.
Dig on it.
Because he was, like, getting one over on Emily.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that was the whole job. Thrill. Yeah, and so kind of finding a co-conspirator in that is probably thrilling, too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a match, someone who can, like, be fun with words and manipulate as well. Or, although, is Lorelai a manipulator? I don't know.
Not really. Not in actual, like, bad terms. Like, she never manipulates people.
Right.
Well, maybe Luke. But she's a word manipulator. She likes to play around with words.
Loves puns. Yeah.
She's like Puck.
The scene that did gross me out is all the stuff like, well, Emily, if you wanted to go somewhere romantic, where would you go? Thai food? No to Thai food? All of that exchange.
It grossed you out?
I thought it was kind of adorable. If it were anyone besides Digger, because we're like preconceived to be like, I don't know. I think if it were just like if that were Dean trying to do that to Rory at a dinner table, I'd be like, that's kind of adorable.
Oh, you totally. Yeah. But I think, yeah, I guess it's because it's
maybe,
him.
Maybe it is just because it did feel like, okay, this is a bit slimy, but it was very slick.
You've cheated Dev.
Oh, yeah.
His first line.
You've cheated God.
Oh, you've cheated God. Not you cheated Dev.
That would be a, totally...
be a very different thing. Yeah. And then otherwise, so the ballet, do we like the choice? I guess it's like, again, it's a very theatrical convention. You don't see the ballet. You don't see the car crash when Jess crashes the car.
Right.
You don't see the bad day with John Hamm.
Speaking of things you don't see, there's an entire episode between 407 and 408 that I would have liked to see of Suki going to the hospital and the baby being delivered. We just skipped to here's the baby.
Well, no, it was a home birth.
Or like just seeing the birthing process. Like I feel like there's so much we could have gotten there. Nick Offerman like freaking out, Jackson freaking out,
and Bruce.
Yeah, we could have gotten another like not even have to be a flashback, but good more Bruce backstory app. Or big Bruce app we could have had. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess they're just not interested in telling that kind of story the show. They don't want to show you the big event. They want to show you the aftermath.
But like
or the pre or post.
For Suki and Jackson, you think they'd give them that. Like they never have an episode where it's like, oh, it's their story. Even their wedding was like the B story.
Yeah.
which is crazy to me.
Yeah, I wonder.
I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I would have liked to have seen that, but I always want more Gilmore. What can I say?
You want Gil less?
No, we want Gilmore.
That's right. Should we get that as a trending hashtag?
We want Gilmore?
We want Gilmore, but then more is capitalized, like a revival.
It's already done.
Because Gilmore, hashtag Gilmore Girls season 8 on Netflix or another, or possibly another streaming provider, HBO is acceptable. It's a little clunky. Although E! Online did quote it. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
E! Online said, the hashtag is
that's so funny.
Season 8 on Netflix.
People have to recognize that that's like a joke, though.
Yeah. Well, they said super simple in quotes on it.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
by the way, I'm pretty sure it's changed. Like, I don't know if we got it exactly as it was the first time.
Right.
Oh, well.
Also, speaking of Richard and Emily stuff.
Judas.
Oops, that's not it.
I was like, whoa.
Yes.
Oh, here it is.
Look at this. I'm walking around and I'm still on the internet.
This was my favorite scene. I loved this so much.
I know, we
much.
Teased this out in a previous episode.
Look at this.
The Gilmores get Wi-Fi.
They
big,
do.
Big story. Big, big story.
Honestly, that scene alone, 10 out of 10. If that really scene was the entire episode, yeah. I would have been like, guys, this is the perfect episode.
You're not going to Google me.
You'll do no such thing.
Emily, I'm going to Google you.
You are certainly not going to Google me.
That sounds so dirty when she says it.
Yeah.
Not gonna Google me.
It reminds me of that bit on 30 Rock where it's like, hey, Liz Lemon, can I Google myself in your office? Like, sure. I'm gonna use your computer. How else are you gonna do it? With that, Tracy.
Oh, man. They use Google again as a joke later this season.
It's a good joke.
Yeah. Oh, it's the funniest joke.
Look at this. I'm walking around and I'm still on the internet.
Why is that so adorable to watch? Why is that so fun?
Because it's archaic to us. Like, we're yeah. like, yeah, no, that's how it works. But early 2000s tech talk is still, like, the funniest thing to me.
Yeah. This is 2004, so Wi-Fi was a thing, pretty much.
It was, but I'm sure it wasn't, like, it's only been, like, a few years.
Yeah.
Not and they like, wouldn't have it.
Yeah.
No, in the Gilmore Mansion.
No.
I can't wait till they set up their iPhones in season 8.
Now, wait a minute. What is this app store?
Emily, I'm at the Genius Bar. Oh, man. And then...
they want to get me on something called AppleCare.
This is part of the... and what I think is so beautiful about this story is it starts... it's a slow burn, but you kind of start seeing Emily get more and more slighted. She's kind of tossed off to the side... Richard saddles up. With Jason, especially with the dinner thing, I like how much Emily does not like him.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a fun dynamic. But you get to see, like, they're planting seeds now of, like, just kind of a lack of respect in general as a person or as a wife that Richard is exhibiting towards Emily.
Right.
And the frustration of that and the quiet pain of that, I think, is interesting. Agreed?
Agreed.
I concur.
Concur?
No, I think it's a really good thing they're doing with Emily being... it almost seems like she's the voice of reason, although we don't know how that's going to turn out, but it's clearly like her being off-put by Digger is not wrong. You know, it feels like, oh, maybe she has a point, even though we don't have any, like... all we have is her going like, I don't know if this is a good reason for him to be in business with you. And like, I don't know if Atlantic City is the best idea. Like, she has these thoughts, but they're not fully like, oh, that's 100% in the wrong. It's like, she has a good reason to not like him. And it kind of makes us think, oh, maybe this dude's not a good dude.
Yeah, that's good drama.
It's right. Got to be so hard, too, when all of her ways don't matter anymore. Like, her party throwing and the stuff that she's so good at. Like, they don't care anymore. That's so sad.
Oh,
so
that scene in 406 kills me. When she goes over to Lorelai's.
Yeah, she's like, it's so sad.
You know, thing people who plan parties and old parties, people don't need them anymore, blah, blah, blah.
Man.
Very sad. Should we talk about the marriage jug?
Oh, let's.
The marriage jug. So, and I think I did make a Gilmore goof on this because I was like, oh, well, Dave's not in it anymore and Lane doesn't really, there's not like a lot of emotional blowback from it, but They just didn't explain in episode 404 that they're still dating long distance. Here's what I'm wondering. Did they say like, oh, he'll be back for Christmas, right? Yeah, like they did in this episode. Were they kind of banking on, Well, that OC show, that's not going anywhere. That's going to get canceled.
Probably. They might have even thought, we can probably get him back for an episode or two, have him really break up and not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he don't come back.
Look, once you go to Cali, nothing rhymes with Cali.
You don't go back down that alley.
There it goes.
This is what we do. You've heard the show before. You've been on it.
Every time it happens, I go, oh.
Look, it's 10% Gilmore and 90% Rhyming Words.
4 stars.
And 20% bad puns. And 100% a constant reminder of our embarrassment and shame.
That's right. We get 220% on this show.
The marriage jug... I actually enjoyed this whole story.
I loved it, but I did think it was going to be the kind of thing of like, as soon as she said, it's the marriage, like as soon as she even reveals the jug, I thought, oh, this is a trick by Mrs. Kim.
Really?
She's trying to drive a wedge between them by suggesting marriage.
Oh, you thought it was a manipulation?
I thought it was going to be. I was like, that's pretty slick. But then when it turned out she wasn't thinking about that, I was like, oh, I love that so much
more. That'd be evil of her.
That's what I was like. I thought when the Henry VIII thing happened where she like tricked Dave into reading the Bible 3 times, I was like, we got a new Mrs. Kim. She's a manipulator.
She didn't trick him into reading the Bible.
She was just like having a little fun with him. But like she knew what he would do.
You think she knew that he would read the whole Bible in a night?
I think that she knew he would be freaked out and be like, what does that mean?
Sure. Right. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought I feel like we've seen that in the show where it's like a parent mentions marriage and then like the couple starts arguing and then it's like, wait a minute, they mentioned that to trick us. Oh, we'll play a trick on them. We'll pretend we're actually going forward with the marriage.
I've never seen that story.
I'm almost sure you have.
You've both seen it a bunch?
I can even name one situation, Fresh Prince, where...
The gold standard.
The gold standard for television, as far as I'm concerned, where Jazz is talking about, I know, marrying Hillary. Mm-hmm. And so they joke about it in front of Uncle Phil and Viv, and they get mad about it. And then they're like, we're just joking. And then Will is like, I'm really mad that you guys were so offset by them joking about marriage. This is stupid.
No, it's not.
But like, anyway, that's a situation in which it happens.
Man, that show... When his dad came back, but then left again.
How come you don't want me, man?
Uncle Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can trace my trust issues back to when they changed Aunt Viv's on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes.
Changed my life.
Oh, my God.
All of my trust issues stem from Aunt Viv.
Well, let's talk about those.
Let's do.
They do that sometimes on shows where they'll just change the character and not mention it. And it's just every time I'm just like, what?
Bewitched?
Yeah.
Marta?
On the Cosby Show. Wait,
they did?
No. What am I thinking of? It wasn't just Fresh Prince, though. Anyway. Yeah, Marta, they changed it 3 times.
3 separate times on that show. And so, let's talk about the... Okay, oh, we're talking about the jug. How did we get there to Fresh Prince?
Marriage.
Okay.
There's an episode of Fresh Prince for everything.
True.
Okay. Climate change.
Oh, the episode where... No, I'm kidding. Could you imagine if I just had one?
How come the plants came hotter, Uncle Phil?
How come the weather don't want us, man? Okay.
Oh, man.
Marriage jug.
The marriage jug. What is the... Because it seems like Lane's only stories now are boy and band.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all she gets.
I don't know what is up with school with her.
Yeah, she's at Seventh-day Adventist College. She mentions it briefly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's close to
and
Stars
still
Hollow.
Living at home.
Still lives with mom.
Oh, man. It's just, like, I feel like they pitched that. Like, they said, oh, they want me to go to this college. But it was just, like, as soon as Rory went off to college, we didn't hear about her school at all.
Right.
So weird.
I think it'd be worth exploring, too. I think that'd be, like, an interesting... I feel like if the show had gone on... Well, I don't know, but... They would have had to do it earlier, too.
Look, I've already pitched the spinoff of us seeing Lane at college, and she starts like an underground prohibition network where she tries to get CDs smuggled through the college.
But it's such a funny thing because, like, it Stars Hollow and just all the characters on the show in general, they've created a Springfield-like situation where it's like you could follow someone for an A or B story for a bit, right, and it would be interesting. Mm-hmm. But they don't do that. And so Graham and Bladell were probably number one on the call sheet. and shooting like 8 days a week or whatever. And they didn't do that and they didn't line that load. Is my math off?
On the 8 days thing?
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay. and they could have done that. And I wonder if that would have like sustained the life of the show a little bit more. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or is that not interesting at all? Like if you don't see Bladel in a whole episode, instead you see Graham, but then you follow like Lane for a little bit more. Like they would do with like a Milhouse episode.
Right.
You know? Or a Lisa episode.
Once in a while, it would be super fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love that. And just get one episode with a townie, like every so. Like it can just be like we get one episode that's strictly Patty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the backdoor pilot for Patty.
Buckle up on Patty.
Exactly.
So.
Who would be the best character to have a backdoor pilot episode that's just all of them?
Gypsy.
Oh, we've talked about this before. Oh, Gypsy would be great.
Have we?
Miss Rose Abdu. Yeah, we've talked about it. Because we talked about Jess's backdoor pilot.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Windward Circle.
That's what it was called?
Yeah.
Was what it was. The series was going to be called.
Oh.
Yeah. It was going to star Scott Baio, but they couldn't get him. Or they could, the network said no.
As who?
As his dad.
What?
Yeah.
What? Blew my mind.
Is that funny? They cast Rob Estes instead.
Yeah.
But they wanted Scott. And they got it all the way to the network, and the network said no.
Huh.
Isn't that funny?
They wanted Charles in charge.
But he ain't in charge.
They got Rob in charge instead.
Rob in charge.
I want Rob in charge.
I don't. So overall, it's a fun story. I like that the twist was kind of harmless. It was like a sitcom thing. Like, oh no, the marriage joke meant nothing.
Right. Oh, right. I just wanted you to stop crying. What?
That's... I loved it. I thought it was a... I also think I loved it more because I originally thought, oh, that's so rude of Mrs. Kim.
And what was the thing she said, like, oh no, my waffles. What was she running
wheat
off to?
Balls.
My wheat balls. I would have texted you if I didn't watch this at 2 a.m. to be like, you gotta get the wheat balls.
I forgot.
My wheat balls.
My wheat balls.
Wheat balls.
My wheat balls.
And then, well, let's play this.
Bruce is not only a midwife, she's also a lactation specialist.
Yikes.
Ew. That's my favorite sound he's made
they
so
really
far.
They really are anti-breastfeeding, I guess, in this series.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Like everything about the female body is disgusting.
That's Kevin saying that.
No, I'm saying. I'm saying that's the... No. Ladies.
I'm leaving.
I don't feel like that.
What?
At all. Well, now I've gone too far in the other direction.
Yeah, I was like, Kevin, stay in the middle.
Like Malcolm.
The needle for Kevin on breastfeeding is either like anti or like super pro.
Like you broke the thing. Yeah.
Like you just see a woman pushing a stroller and you're just like, lady, you gotta be breastfeeding.
Why aren't you breastfeeding right now, lady?
Yeah.
Why aren't all of you breastfeeding? I get on a chair in the middle
Stacey,
of Starbucks.
Stacey, why aren't you breastfeeding?
What's the problem?
I don't understand.
This culture is so messed up.
I go to a Pizza Hut and not one of you is breastfeeding in here.
A Pizza Hut? Why a Pizza Hut?
I don't know, I want pizza really bad.
Look, Kevin, well, I don't know
I
where
want,
you go.
I want pizza, too. excuse me. Breastfeeding. So Bruce is still around. Bruce the midwife.
Yeah.
Midwife. And she.
She's so scary, and even Suki's scared of her, and I don't understand.
But she serves the baby.
She takes the baby.
Well, she treats the baby all right. That's what's worth it in the end. She's abrasive, she's rough, she's harsh. But at the end of the day, the baby is served, right?
Yeah,
I didn't even realize she was on Bunheads with us that woman.
Really?
She was.
Yeah.
Just Rusty
for
Schwimmer?
Two episodes, I think.
Okay. More connections. We need to get Rusty Schwimmer on the podcast.
We gotta.
So when you do a 2-hour long podcast about two episodes. Yeah. So when you did Bruce the Midwife, like how did you prepare? What was your process for that? Did you go Stanislavski? Did you go
I delivered a baby. And then I was like, this one not as great. You know, everyone needs a trial run. So I delivered 10 more children. And then I was ready.
Let's go to the Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&A.
Jordan McGill.
Oh,
asks,
Jordan.
Do you know Jordan?
No.
Okay. Well, Jordan, hit up state. No, never mind. Did Demi delete his Twitter? Because Emily, <Come on. laughs> because Emily made such a compelling argument against the internet.
Yes, that's why I did it. I got to 408 and I was like, you know what? I'm on Emily's side. I hate the internet.
That was an interesting discussion. That felt very Aaron Sorkin to me. This is another way in which they're so parallel. They are very adverse to technology.
Right.
They don't embrace it. It would appear in their work. Like, people don't, you know, they're not on their cell phone. They don't, it takes a long time.
Yeah.
Like, computers are still a scary thing in a lot of ways. In Newsroom, they're the antagonist.
Right.
Pretty much. The internet is the antagonist.
It was so fun watching Richard hiding behind the bush, like, oh, it's totally dead here.
Well, you never know.
And then going outside and be like, it is
crystal clear out here.
Yeah.
And I love when he said, I hit F12 and it's all going down.
Jason, I've hit F12 and it's all gone crazy.
Hitting F12, it would not, you'd be fine. It would not go to hell.
I actually did it on my computer.
You hit F12?
It does nothing.
While I was watching the episode.
What if I want it all to go to hell?
They should have
been real self-destructive.
Netflix should have made an Easter egg where it's like, you hit F12 and the screen just goes red for like a flash or something.
Yeah, that's a very doable Easter egg Netflix could have done.
Look, Netflix, get on it. You want some free press.
I know, Netflix has been slacking, man. They need to get bun heads on Netflix so people can stream it.
Yeah, so we can
watch it for bun head bros. Can you talk to someone?
At Netflix? Sure.
Yeah,
okay. Dear Netflix.
Dear Netflix. Hashtag bun heads for Netflix.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Rain. Well, okay. Rainmaker Roxy says, again, I ask you to focus your attention on Digger's rapey persona. I disagree oh, with that.
Ouch.
I know. That got an audible gasp.
Did we call him rapey one time? I think you did and then retracted.
No.
No?
I feel like Keith, she said it
Keith
before.
Powell said oh, something right, about that's rapey. Who it was. Rapey. Yeah, she probably said it before. I don't think he's rapey. Like, what is the rapey vibe? What is the synonym for what she's talking about here?
Slimy.
He's so smarmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's slick.
But it's charming
he's
in a way.
He's a slickster. Yeah.
It is more charming in this episode than it was the first time. Because the true. First time, it kind of felt like, it didn't, like, she went there to be like, hey, you need to leave my mom alone. He was just like, ooh, you're looking good, umlauts. And it's like, what?
Yeah, nice. Read the umlauts.
Room. He's series regular this season.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
It's weird
because got a good deal.
He yeah. is literally in the credits before you meet him in the show. And it's just like, wait, who's this guy?
Yeah, that's funny. Yo, who that Chris Eggman?
Who's Chris?
It is Eggman, right?
It is.
Okay, good. Because I said Eggman on the previous episode to cover my bases. Now we can just go Eggman. Gret Burt says, when Lorelai lists Jason's attributes, she says he can keep up. Is this the number one requirement of a Gilmore suitor?
Keeping up? Well, keeping up with Lorelai, it's a pretty good... Christopher mm-hmm. could keep up, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Who couldn't? Max?
Luke can't.
You don't think Luke can keep up?
Mm-mm.
Do you not think Luke and Lorelai should be together?
I love... They obviously should. Right. But yeah. he doesn't fit in or keep up with the, like, witty banter. Sometimes he has like one liner and you're like, oh
yeah,
he doesn't I think he keeps up more than is obvious because he is always aware of what's happening,
and he it's cute that he loves it so much, like yeah. he thinks it's adorable.
I think he plays into the just like you groan at my puns or whatever,
right?
Like he plays into this thing of like, okay, Lorelai, I'll fix your gutters or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I think he likes being put upon or burdened.
You think I like the puns?
Uh-oh. It's an off-mic discussion.
Let's go ahead and hit stop right now. No, I'm kidding.
No, but I think he is aware of that. And keeping up for him isn't like, like it would be for Christopher or would be for Digger. But I think it's like, it's different. It's slower. He's fully in control of whatever the situation is. He just chooses to go at a different speed.
Right.
In it, you know? It's like Lorelai's a fast drummer, and mm-hmm. he's, help me out.
He's Ringo Starr.
And he's like, hey, Lorelai, can I play in your band?
Oh, my God.
It's like, Ringo, you're fine at keeping up, but we don't need you to.
Damn it, Taylor.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Scrambled eggs. No, that's Paul.
Lauren Graham is Neil Peart from Rush.
Yeah.
And Luke is Ringo Starr.
And Christopher is Max Weinberg.
Yeah.
Drummers. Jeff, or Joff S., says, do you think cruelty is tied to earthly success?
What?
That is deep.
Was that meant for
that's
us?
Deep. Yeah. No, it is.
Are you sure that's not like a Mark Maron question?
Well, how's your dick, man? Or like whatever he would ask. No, because I think he's talking about... Rory writes an article. Doyle doesn't like it. X's everything out. Rory writes another. Works really hard at it. Puts a lot of time into it. Doyle again rejects it.
What? They can't hear that on mic, but someone screamed a song.
Someone just sang kind of a cool lick.
Yeah.
Truth be told.
We got to open the window and tell that guy to, they got to
get on the mic.
Deal. Yeah.
do our theme song from now on.
Give me that hot new sound.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, that's like pitch for pitch what it was. Oh my God. This podcast is derailed.
Sorry.
No. That was, it literally like happened at the perfect time too. To answer the question.
Because then when she gets cruel, it's good in the eyes of Doyle, and then they publish it, and then she's on the Yale News.
I don't think it's cruelty. I think it's just interesting because it's such a voice that they didn't expect. It's literally her being creative, and that happens to be cruel. If she were nice about it and saying things like, this stuff saying, and like using metaphors in a way that like made it sound, was still very nice, it would have been a hit still.
What do you think she did for the Michael Row Your Boat Ashore kids? Like, was it the same? Did she eviscerate them?
What a cliffhanger, though.
That was quite a... Someone asked if that was an uncredited cameo again from Seth MacFarlane.
I don't think so.
Did it sound like him?
Not to me.
Maybe we'll play it at the end and figure it out. But what do you... She probably was mean, but covered her bases.
Yeah.
I think she was mean, but not cruel. She was honest. Yeah.
Honest.
Like,
she didn't body shame the folk singers like she did the ballet dancers.
Right.
Good grief. But yeah. But is cruelty tied to earthly success, guys?
I don't think so.
I hope not. That's depressing.
I hope being kind. Here's what I do think is I think being mean, and especially in the context of like creative writing or comedy or something that's easier and a lot of times more fun. Which is why a show like Parks and Recreation mm-hmm. is super hard. It's easier to do a show like The Office, where I know that it's saccharine and Michael loves everyone, blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, everyone in that office does not like each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim's a jerk to people. I hate Jim so much anyway. But
yeah,
anyway, I'm not getting on Office rant. But Parks is hard because Parks is a show where everyone actually loves each other openly.
It's a triumph. Is what
yeah.
it is.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it's almost like, well, it's not, well, it is like Cheers, but even more so than Cheers, everyone loves each other openly. They love things that, and they have passions and they have hobbies that they're yeah. into. You know, it's hard to do that. It's hard to make that funny.
It's
even the same on Gilmore. Like, it's a show where everyone like deeply loves each other for the most part.
Yeah.
And there's difficulties with that, communication issues with that, but it's harder to do that. And it's harder to be funny in that than it is if like, hey, dummy, you know, like...
The Office is funny, but it's
I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not funny. I'm saying it's easier to do.
Yeah. They create comedy out of pessimism. Mm-hmm. Parks and Rec creates comedy out of optimism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is just
never
great.
Thought about that. It's true.
Da-da-da.
Guys.
Mind's
dropping truth bombs.
Mind's blown. I can't even think of another show where it's like, yeah, we all love each other. That doesn't feel false or forced.
Right.
That's not like Full House or something. Or Fuller House coming to Netflix.
West Wing.
Without
West Wing. Yeah. Yeah. They love each other in West Wing.
Love.
Not really in the newsroom.
Not in newsroom.
Ooh, not at all.
West Wing, they do. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Charlie loves the president, and the president loves Toby, and Toby loves Josh. Yeah. It's great.
Loves Joshy.
West Wing, I feel like I could do a podcast about, but I don't know if I want to.
The best
yeah,
wing.
My...
That's what you call it.
I thought about it.
You've thought about it?
Yeah, but it might like...
You want to do a West Wing podcast?
It, but I don't know if I want to...
Are you thinking about starting one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
About the West Wing?
But it might be super boring.
What would you call it?
Oh, crap.
Here's what I would do.
West Wing and... I don't know. That's, I got nothing.
Oh, Wing and It's already a West Wing podcast that's out there.
Oh. Fuck me.
Whoa.
The best wing.
All I know is I would use a Ray LaMontagne song, but just change the words to it. So it'd be, you are the West Wing. You're the West Wing, baby.
Oh my God.
Right?
I just didn't know that
you don't
song.
Know that song?
No, and I love him.
Thing? Yeah. You guys don't know the best thing?
It's not a bad impression, though. I'm going to...
I'm Ray LaMontagne.
The only Ray LaMontagne song I've ever heard Trouble. Is his cover of Across the Universe.
Trouble.
But I really
gotta get you some
song.
Jolene.
Jolene.
Well, everyone's covered.
Jolene. This is.
Okay, I've heard this.
Baby, it's been a long time.
This is funky.
By the way, he looks homeless. He's an amazing singer.
So he puts on an amazing show too.
But he like
Let's do when a I, podcast about Ray.
When I saw him on SNL, I was like, "Who's that hobo?" Like they're shooting that hobo on the camera on accident. Baby, it's been a long day.
Oh, that was a good impression.
It's good.
I mean, I like him a lot. I think he's great.
Love.
But you'll see what I'm talking about when it gets to the chorus. But yeah, West Wing would be a great podcast.
Wouldn't be funny though, would it?
Right. Well, I just what's the angle?
Oh God. Now you're gonna make me think too much. It was a fleeting thought at a time.
Now it's your passion project.
Here we go.
Right. I couldn't podcast about anything else.
These two dummies can do it. Anyone can do it.
That's
that
true.
Was Let my original lesson. Thought.
Really?
No.
Oh wow. Okay, here it is.
You are the West Wing.
You're the West Wing.
You
are the West Wing.
My theme song.
This sounds like it belongs in like a commercial for cotton.
By cotton. Well, like just the product of cotton in general.
No, you know Zooey Deschanel do those ads for cotton.
Oh, yeah.
Or like some commercial for like Kohl's or something. That's what this
yeah,
sounds like.
Yeah, it does sound
just
right.
All American.
Yeah. Do you know the comedian Whitmer Thomas? Whit Thomas?
Yes.
That sounds like his voice, where she's like, it does that sort of a thing. It was like,
yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's fun. So no, Joff Cruelty is not tied to earthly success.
I think his name is Jeff.
Is it?
G-E-O-F-F?
That's Jeff.
Yeah, I've heard, definitely Jeff.
But I've known so many Joff. Okay.
You know a lot of
you
Joffs.
You know a Joff?
I know
He said he knows a lot
Joffs.
Of Joffs. Yeah. What is Joff?
Okay, I feel like I've met two in my life.
But more than zero is impressive.
Joff.
I think those Joffs
You can
are
keep saying it. It
Joff,
still sounds
Joff,
weird.
Joff.
Shake it, Joff.
Shake it, Joff. But yeah, Cruelty... What we're banking on, because we're nice men and women.
Mm-hmm. How did we get to West Wing? We're talking about cruel. Oh, never mind. I traced it back.
People are nice.
Yeah.
People who like people.
Mel Leeson, whatever. Do you think the ballerina overreacted when she confronted Roy at the cafeteria?
Yeah.
Also, do you get a fat shaming vibe when Lorelai made the bra strap comment? Yeah, we went over that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, yes, she did.
I find that interesting too. One of the things when I would talk to God, someone name drop. When I would talk to Kelly Bishop about Gilmore Girls.
Humble brag.
Yeah,
me and George Clooney.
One of the things I wish we have the same birthday.
Do you?
Me and George.
Well then his birthday was recently.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Happy birthday, George.
Oh, George.
And happy birthday, Stacy.
Oh
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I will never do anything for George Clooney because he doesn't believe in rainbows.
Oh, that's true. He doesn't believe in rainbows.
What the fuck? You don't even know what you're talking
George
about.
Clooney doesn't believe rainbows exist.
What does he do when he sees a rainbow?
He doesn't. He's just never seen one.
Maybe
I'm
he's
sure.
colorblind.
He's a rainbow.
Maybe we should forgive him.
I will never forgive him.
Wow.
Until he comes out and makes a public statement that he believes in rainbows, I will never
I
forgive
did not
him.
Know this.
Yeah, well,
okay,
tell everyone.
One of the things that Kelly Bishop loved the most about Gilmore Girls is they had some heavier set women on the show as characters, but they never made a reference to it at all.
Right.
Never once.
And right. Which
this is the first time that they do. And it's weird. It feels out of place.
I feel like they've made a fat joke before on the show.
I can't think of one.
I feel like in season 2 or 3, they did say something. It. And it was in reference to a character on the show. Because we've talked about how great that is too. But like, there is a weird, I don't know.
Maybe the joke wasn't so much body shaming as it was just poor fitting clothes.
Well, that's what Rory defends is saying, but that's such bullshit.
But it's not.
That's
right.
Bullshit. Come on, Rory.
Or maybe that's what the thought behind writing it was that.
Okay.
It's like more, yeah. The joke is that like, it could be a skinny woman just wearing literally strings.
I know that girl was my size, so I was like, what?
Yeah, she
doing?
Was not fat.
Not at all.
At all. She becomes a recurring character. She's in every episode of season 4 from now on.
All she says is, bye jerk, die jerk.
Yeah, that's actually how the episodes end from now on.
She's I really want my SAG card. Can I please come back for every episode?
Wait until you see how big she is in season 7. And I don't mean size-wise, just role-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. Oh, man.
Huge
in season 7.
Well, I wouldn't know. And I never... No, I will.
Rory moves into an apartment. Guess who her roommate is?
Hi, jerk.
All her lines have to rhyme with jerk. Why, jerk?
Are you telling me the truth? Lie, jerk. Do you want some cake? Mm-mm. Pie, jerk.
How do you want these eggs? Fried, jerk. Anyway.
What'd you do when watching The Notebook? Cry, jerk.
Oh, my God.
Stacey's like, oh, just fast forward.
What have I gotten myself into? Okay, Caitlin Smith.
Hi, jerk.
Actually, we've already covered that question. Thank you.
Yeah, screw you, Caitlin.
Yeah, bye, jerk.
Well, bye, jerk.
I'm kidding. What did Caitlin ask, though?
It's something we already covered.
Still, I just
wanted to know. Said, did you expect Rory to be as harsh as she was in her review of the ballet, especially the comments on the ballet size? Kat McCary says, here's the thing. It's Yale, highest rated drama program or whatever. Don't you think their arts programs would be better than what's projected in this episode?
Thank you.
Also, especially Emily was planning on seeing that play.
She was going to go to that particular ballet.
Yeah, she says, particularly with the singing, I mean, most high schools would be too ashamed to let their choir perform. I'd wager the Ivy League would be way more.
Right.
She's on the wait list for Juilliard. That means she's still a pretty freaking good dancer.
Right. Yeah. So maybe she's having an off night.
Probably. Did we fully answer Mel's question? What was that one?
What was Mel's? Oh, did she overreact? The answer is yes.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was going to say that Sharpie, writing die jerk on anyone's door.
Anytime you wish death upon anyone in any form.
Overreaction.
Unless it's, Osama bin Laden. Or, really? You think that's too far?
I wishing it on anybody feels weird.
I kind of agree. But I also, I'm just like, I don't know. I just feel like wishing death on anyone is just like,
bad karma, man. It's going to come back to you.
It's like, put him in jail for the rest of his life. Whatever.
Right.
But
let him run.
Get punched in the face once.
Okay.
Once.
Just once. Really hard in the cheek.
But don't do it again because I'll punch you twice.
Let's talk about death penalty. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about lethal injections in the correctional facilities.
Just got real dark. Real dark.
We talked a lot about Abu Ghraib the past few episodes,
Think of Gilmore Girls, I think of Osama and Abu Ghraib.
Me too.
There's some Osama jokes on here, I think.
We've made many Osama jokes.
No, I mean in the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Well, they made a joke about Uday Hussein.
Yeah, Uday Hussein, that was a joke.
That was weird.
Yeah,
you know, guy that made the Holocaust thing, is he going to get mad about this? He's totally still listening to the podcast, by the way. He's your biggest fan.
Definitely
now.
Not. Well, he's definitely not.
Not only is he not listening, but he would love this episode because we came out publicly and said that we don't like Osama bin Laden.
Osama, win him back. Bad.
Laden.
Sully Sullenberg, good. That's the pilot that landed the plane.
In the Hudson.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You know, you guys have turned me around on this. It probably is weird to wish death on anyone, even the cruelest people.
I think to actively wish death, you can in a moment be like, oh, I wish he wasn't here, but not to be
as
like,
we all do.
I am praying.
I know
for that
you've wished
death.
I was dead at some point. I've wished you were dead many points.
Hey,
what?
Many?
Yeah, I mean in the past.
Oh, okay, cool.
Just
don't do it in the future.
Right. Well, be better in the future.
Agreed.
Concurred.
Well, that's a settled beef.
The beef is off. George O'Brien says, if Rory could review Gilmore Guys, what would she say?
First of all,
is conceptual and deep.
A lot of fat shaming just for us. Just pilot episode, these guys sound fat.
Yeah, she's not looking at any pictures of us. Sounds like a couple of tubby tubs in this episode.
It was 10% Gilmore, 10% talk about me, and 90% talk about something else.
Yeah, I hope she'd be kinder. I think she would respond well to us, because I think we're giving a better performance.
You took those Gilmore guys, and you ripped out their guts.
I almost threw out my neck.
It was Elizabethan.
It was downright Elizabethan. Wait, do I have that?
No,
I do. I just screwed it up.
It's downright Elizabethan.
Elizabethan.
God, the...
Ow, ow, ow!
Oh, my God.
That's Rory roaring at the moon.
Roaring.
Roaring.
It's really her squealing at the moon. Yeah. It's like a puppy learning to bark.
I'm Gil.
My favorite.
What was Sebastian that? Bach as Gil.
When he introduces himself, I'm Gil.
Yeah. What was that green thing attacking Michelle? Was it a locust?
I don't know.
Or was it on his head? Is he going insane?
He might be going insane.
It's weird to see him not in suits, too.
It's weird to see his new hairstyle.
Is it a new hairstyle?
It was introduced when he had to go work at that place that wasn't the inn.
Okay. I love that fancy hotel with his little headset.
Yeah.
He looks so smart.
It reminds me of Zoolander.
It was a little Zoolander.
Yeah.
I totally want to stay at that hotel.
Can we talk about fashion?
Let's.
Oh, God.
Fashion. Exhale.
Yeah. I'd pass out. I'm loving Richard's purple bow tie.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of fun. How do we feel about Lorelai's hair? I know Jessica St. Clair said we don't talk about her hair enough.
It reminds me of Shirley Temple at one point when it's curled.
Yeah.
But it still looks great.
Emily had some bad hair at dinner. It was not good.
Really?
Yeah, it was the first frizzy Emily I'd seen.
Oh, it's that picture I sent you that we Instagrammed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it looks weird.
It does.
It looks like, because they kind of settle on her hairdo, which is kind of a big, how would you describe it?
Like a football helmet.
It's like a helmet hair.
Helmet hair. And it doesn't move, and it's perfect.
And is that what she wanted, or is that like?
I don't know.
I mean, it had to be, because she's in control of her hair.
Right.
To a degree.
I have never been in control, like on set.
Really?
No.
So they just say, do your hair like this.
No, they do it. They grab it and do it.
Well, that must feel fun. Getting primped and pampered like. Doyle's tie is so huge. It looks so big on him because he's such a small little man.
Small little man.
Small little man.
No.
Danny, we love you. Come on the show.
I don't think he will after that.
No, he will. I think he will. Lorelai's pink jacket with the shirt with the stripe on it. I just wrote down, bold. But rad. That was my
take. Wait, Lorelai's what?
She was wearing a pink jacket, and then she had a shirt underneath it with like a stripe.
Was that the one that had the bird on it?
No.
Okay.
It was a different one.
She has one shirt at one point that is like a pink shirt with a bird on it, and like two seasons ago, I would have been like, that's such a weird shirt, but now I'm just kind of like, par for the course. So.
P for the C, baby.
P for the C.
What did you notice, Timmy?
Paris's yarn sweater.
Yeah, she's been wearing them yarn sweaters. Mm-hmm.
She's trying to get a more colorful wardrobe, and I'm into it. It's sort of adorable, but it also makes her feel like a grandmother.
A little bit. One outfit I really loved was Lorelai was wearing a white button-up, green sweater vest, brown jacket. I was into that.
Really?
Do you remember that? They were walking through Stars Hollow.
White button-up, green vest, brown jacket?
Yeah.
When she goes in and sees, what's her face at the counter?
Yes, Nicole. Oh, we haven't talked about that.
Oh,
we're so going to talk about Nicole.
We got to.
Okay.
Got to.
You okay?
You are the best thing. You're the best thing, baby.
The worst thing. Has that been fashion?
I think so. Oh, let me just say, Rory's hair, always great.
Always great.
So good. I love the short.
Good as his short.
Fashion! Woo! Let's talk about Nicole. Bing, bing.
Oh, damn.
She seemed smug as shit when Lorelai left.
That
little
smirk?
Like,
I got
She never got that pen back.
That's true. Yeah, I'm going to need it back. What a weirdo.
There's some tension there.
There's some tension.
And it's not sexual.
She's like, I got your man, and he's mine again. It's not a real song.
But Lorelai.
It's weird for Lorelai to act that weird.
She was a disaster.
Oh, yeah. Way
That's the whole thing. She's like, oh, well, I was with a friend.
Your lawyers at your firm.
Anytime she walks into a room that Nicole is in, she freaks out. Like, there was one time where she walks into the inn and she forgets that she had let Luke and Nicole stay there for the night. And she's just like, turn down. Oh, I was going to turn on the fireplace.
She, like, sets her hair on fire. Like, it's so...
It's a mistake.
I wonder, and it's like a thing of, why can't... And it doesn't feel earned at this point in a way, because it's not like, oh, me and Luke hooked up, and now it's weird because you're dating it. It's like, oh, here's my friend, one of my best friends, and you're you have this kind of weird relationship with him, but I don't have a similar relationship. So why is there a threat? Why is there like, you know? And it seems almost immature in the way of like men and women who are grown men and women who are single, I think should be able to be friends in a way that's like healthy and have boundaries and stuff. But like, I feel like you don't get to see that a lot.
Right.
Not on TV and film.
It's always like, if they're hot and they're single, we'll put them together. Yeah. You know, that's one thing I appreciate about 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Is Jack and Liz never got together, even though they had like the best chemistry in the world
and
on
just,
that show.
Just to bring back to Parks, Ron and Leslie.
Yeah.
They never even suggest it.
Right.
Yeah. One of the worst things that Mad Men does is if a man and a woman are ever in a room together, they hook up every single time.
Every
it's just like, there's like a tree that's got to be somewhere of like,
yeah,
like red string of who's hooked up with who. It's insane.
Yeah. So I wonder, even I think too, this is going to sound blasphemous and I don't actually wish this, but like
death.
What's that?
Death.
Death.
I wish death on everyone who, just everyone. How would this show be different if Luke and Lorelai were never romantically interested in each other? So originally in the pilot, the diner was going to be, the diner owner was going to be a woman. Say it's Lucy. So Lucy, the diner owner. So say they just did what a lot of movies do, where they just do a gender swap for diversity, and they make Lucy a man and it's Luke. Mm-hmm. And he's a best friend and he helps her out and he plays a lot of the similar role, but they never hook up and they never get together. And they don't do will or they or won't they.
Right.
They just won't they.
They just won't. And would that be a show worth watching? Would that be interesting?
I think it'd be super interesting, but the audience would still get really mad.
Yeah, they'd still be like, I ship them. And it'd be like, well, you don't have to do that because they don't need you to be that.
But they don't ship each other.
But right. Would they do that if it wasn't suggested, going all the way back to season one, when they're doing like, oh, a light bulb went out or a bat's in my attic or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, when they start suggesting like, oh, should they get together? Would the audience have gone that route if it wasn't presented as an option?
No, I think not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would have, because I mean, yeah, I feel like audiences watch the show however you train them to watch the show.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if like, if you're supposed to like Christopher and that's the dude and like she reconciles and gets back together with him, then you'd follow that and you'd root for that. Like
yeah.
If the show trained you to do that. I just think that's an interesting idea. Like, whoa, what if Luke and Lorelai didn't get together? Because I think female and male friendship that's not romantic is so fascinating to
or
watch.
Even if it's like eventually they get together and you realize, oh, this doesn't work, and they break up, and then it's like, well, they're still very good friends,
yeah,
but you tried it and it's gone,
which is almost what happened on Scrubs,
yeah,
until they got back together at the end.
But I just think that'd be also interesting if it's like, look, we'll give you what you want, but here's what it is,
here's the cost, yeah,
and you're like, oh no, that's not great, and then they're apart and then you're just kind of like, well, where does it go from here?
Yeah.
Now it's a whole new ball game.
Sam and Diane,
I would like
baby
that story though, like truly platonic. When I write, this is generally what I tend
truly
to write to, because
platonic.
I have truly, God, every time, drink. I have so many guy friends that are just friends.
Same.
Like,
guy friends.
Nobody.
You're looking at two of them. I have a lot of guy friends that are just
and
friends.
And it's not,
too.
There's not tension. It's not a will they, won't they. We're just friends.
Right.
But like, that's okay. You can tell that story.
Yeah.
It's fun to explore, but it seems like, and I don't know why, but on TV or in movies, it's either, well, they have to be mentor-mentee or gay best friend.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a lot of... If you can think of examples, tweet at me what those are. Tweet at us what those
are. Or
they're
just like evil level or even level friends.
Or evil level.
Evil level.
Excellent. yeah, because I can't even think of one example. Because those examples, Ron, Leslie,
mentor-mentee.
Jack and Liz. Yeah. Basically. Leslie. Nick Offerman.
Leslie.
Also on Gilmore Girls. Should we rate the episode? Is there anything else we need to go over?
There was one line at the end of the cold open where she goes, yes, just got my number. I didn't understand that at all.
I don't remember that.
It's like,
yes, just got my
Lorelai
number.
Lorelai goes, yes. And then they're like,
oh,
what?
They I remember talking about. They gave them little like roulette wheels or something.
Yeah, roulette wheels that Richard had custom made for the business.
And so she was spinning it.
Okay.
I had to watch that twice. I'm
I
like, what
missed that entirely.
About?
Well, you watched this at 2 a.m. as well.
That's true. Every other second, I just covered my eyes.
And he kept hitting F12.
Every
weird.
Other second.
I kept hitting F12 and it was going red. There was a very good line where Rory is introduced to Digger, and he's like, well, nobody calls me Digger anymore. And he's like, what is it, P. Digger now?
I like P.
Oh, Digger. Yeah, we put that in the pop culture.
Yeah, just a great line.
Yeah.
I just wanted to shout that out.
Shout out to P. Digger, man.
The artist formerly known as Sean Puffy Digger Combs.
Of course.
The joke of Michelle being like, I'm Rosa Parks, I'm being discriminated against. I thought that was so funny. I mean, that was the suggested joke, but I thought that was so funny.
Okay, so here is the folk song at the end of the episode.
Mm.
And let's see if we recognize the voices. This is when Rory goes to the folk review.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Michael.
Michael rowed the boat ashore. Hallelujah.
I don't know.
That could be Seth MacFarlane.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
Yeah. I think it is.
It could be.
Because it sounds like Stewie.
Yeah.
It sounds like Seth and Rachel MacFarlane.
It totally does.
We just discovered a new cameo.
Trivia.
I think it is.
I don't think we can confirm
it.
I think
in that one section where he's speaking it, it sounds like him.
And when he says, I will at the end, that sounds very, yeah. Have we heard Avril Lavigne mentioned in the show before? Because I feel like when they said that, I was like, something about that sounds like I've discussed Avril Lavigne on this show before.
No, just off mic. You won't stop talking about her.
He's wearing an Avril Lavigne t-shirt right now.
Look, he was a skater boy.
She said, see you later, boy. Good night.
Can I make it any more obvious?
You could. Could I be any less of a good singer? Just kidding. She married Chad Kroeger, right? From Nickelback?
Yes, yeah. And then they divorced.
Aw, she got her nickel back.
She looked at that.
In the prenup.
She looked at that wedding photograph, and every time she did, she just made her laugh.
But laugh as in, I shouldn't be doing this.
Right. What the hell was on Joey's head? Joey was the priest. Why was he wearing a hat?
What?
It made sense.
Okay. Let's rate the episode. I enjoyed it a lot.
Me too.
Cool. All right. Bye.
La la la. No.
I think... Oh, you know what I enjoyed too? Is the stuff with Paris. Where she's like, stand down from the strike.
It's like Dorothy hitting the tin. I wish we'd seen like a bunch of people in the background like about to hit someone, just be like, stand down.
Okay. Stand down. Like there's snipers on the ballerinas or something.
One thing I didn't mention, I didn't realize until she showed up, this is the first, like we didn't see Miss Kim for like 9 episodes.
Yeah.
It wasn't, 320 was her last episode, which is the one where Dave left.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I wonder, I think she... Maybe she was off doing a play or something, because she does a lot of theater work, too.
Yeah, maybe.
That actress does.
But I was just like, whoa.
Yeah. Pretty nutso. Emily Carota. The great Emily Carota. I enjoyed this episode a lot. I enjoyed it more than the last one, more than 407. I thought there was more grounding to it. I loved everything with Emily. I loved everything with Wi-Fi and Richard.
Oh, yeah.
And the stuff with Digger, while some of it sort of icked me out, I did enjoy. I do enjoy kind of seeing a verbal match for Lorelai in a way.
Right.
That you haven't seen really since, like, Christopher. So I'm going to give it 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 cheeseburgers.
On stands.
Yeah, on stands. From stands. Right. Not on stands. Like, no, they're just on
with robot arms. Feeding
robot
me arm burgers.
Stands. How are the robot arms in there?
I'm pretty sure I've seen like a harmonic. You know how like the harmonic thing that you put on your neck? And it's like,
The
when
brace.
Playing guitar. Right.
Imagine.
I just imagine like a burger in that. Like when you play guitar, but you also got to chow down.
Please make that.
Okay.
Oh, I have a brace actually in the car. I could go get a burger.
Let's go get burgers after this and put the burger in there and we'll see how it fits.
I would do it.
Great.
I would do it.
I'd do it.
I die.
We are off the rails. You're just making sounds. At that.
At that.
I like this episode a lot. I thought it was super fun. The Digger stuff was way more charming this time. And
I agree. He's getting progressively more.
Yeah.
What's the word?
Tolerable.
Endearing?
No, endearing, yeah. Still not like, there's nothing, I don't know if endearing is the right word, because that suggests that there's something like emotionally like kind about him, but it's really just like, it feels right. And again, the Richard technology stuff, gold. 10/10 for that alone. But for the entire episode, I will say 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 F12 buttons.
Me? What say you?
I really like this one. It is still missing the town, like
yeah,
the town charm, because that's my favorite part. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving it 8 out of 10 Seth MacFarlane cameos.
Hallelujah.
Michael Rowe.
We should, wait, what was that thing that the guy sang outside? I forget what it
is. Oh, man. I don't know.
No, but you hit it spot on.
You really
I'll
did.
Just listen to it again.
Just play it again right here.
I get it tomorrow.
Great again.
Thank you. Thank you.
I should have said wheat balls.
Oh, 8 out of 10 wheat balls. Now it's time for a little segment we call Where You Tweet. I will follow.
Yep.
Stacey, where can we find you?
At Stacey Oristano. EY.
Hell yeah.
In the Stacy, not the Oristan. That'd be weird.
O R I S T A E N O Y.
And sometimes Y.
Got it.
Sometimes Y.
Stacy Oristan E I E I O.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at Electrolemon.
Yep.
And what's your Twitter handle?
Mine is at Kevin T. Porter.
Cool.
Yeah.
At Kevin T. Porter.
Kevin T. Porter.
Who's that?
That is Werner Herzog.
Electro Lemon.
Are you coming back to Twitter?
I'm sure.
Why are you off?
You don't like these
know.
Questions. Yeah,
no, it's
you've
just
been
weird.
Off for
I just
weeks.
Feel like it's not a big deal. And it's, when people talk about it, it's just like,
well, people
want
to tweet to you about the show and stuff. And they tweet at Gilmore Guys, like, where's Demi? Is he okay?
I'm fine.
I miss him.
I'm sure by the time
he's
this
my
is...
boyfriend.
Oh, boy. I hope no one tweets that.
Well, uh-oh.
I got off Facebook. I needed a little break.
Yeah,
you are off Facebook
like a
currently?
Year.
Oh, you're still off it.
No, I got back on.
Okay.
Because it was my birthday, and you know, everybody leaves
you. Want, you, want all the, you want all the glory.
Love me.
Of course.
I'm sure by the time this comes back, it comes out, everyone will be like, oh, he's been on. We want him off again.
But we want him off?
Yeah.
Get Demi off Twitter.
Get it trending. Get Demi off Twitter. Please get that trending.
Get Demi off Twitter. You got to be on it for ATX and stuff.
I think I will be.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all going to party at ATX.
Also, be sure to check out Other Space on Yahoo Screen.
Yes, do it.
I'm not involved with that show. I just think it's really good and everyone should watch it because no one is, I think.
And you can follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter, on Instagram, facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show. Email us GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com and watch our Twitter and Facebook for live dates.
Yep.
Which it's crazy that we're doing live dates. But
it's
crazy. But we're doing them. We're going to New York. We're going to Austin.
Yeah. And then we're going to take over the White House.
No, we need to. No, I might cut this out. We need to do that at the end of 416. Like, not only are we going to New York, we're going to Portland. We're going to Seattle. And then
we're going to go to Chicago. We're going to go to
Minneapolis. Talking about?
No.
Howard Dean, the Dean Scream, 2004. They reference it on Gilmore Girls.
They do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I won't spoil it, but they do.
What
episode
a weird,
419
like,
and 420.
In my voice.
Yeah.
Mr. Creosote.
They do.
Oh, do go on.
Go on. Oh, I need to give a stars holla. Hang on. Demi fill for time.
Every time you ask me to fill for time, I'm just like, I can't do that. I'm not great at it. Have you been watching anything interesting lately? Anything you want to give a shout out to?
I just got into Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
So I'm super late to the party, so I'm watching season 2 and 5 at the same time.
You know,
it's like two different shows.
Hope you like people that don't like women.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's a rough go.
It's a rough show.
It is. I watched season 1 and I was like, this is good. And then for some reason I didn't watch 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then when 4 started, I was just like, I'll watch it with my friends. So I'm like missing a lot, but I'm watching it currently.
Because everybody's
friends.
Dead that you
yeah.
do.
Basically. But I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
So we want to give a big stars holla out to Jessica.
Oh, Jess.
Jessica Kraft from Nashville. She made us a beautiful cross stitch that says...
Oi, with the poodles already.
Isn't that so gorgeous?
That's so good.
She made this for us and sent in the mail.
It's beautiful.
And we'll pose with it for this episode picture. So thank you so much to Jessica. She enclosed a nice note with that as well. Demi, what fan art would you like to request now?
I would like to request a blank piece of paper.
Oh. Mm. Someone's going to send that in.
Great. You don't have to mail it. Just tweet it at Kevin T. Porter.
Tweet a blank piece of paper at Kevin T.
Porter. Kevin T. Porter. Everybody, get it trending.
Sounds good. Anything we want to say? This is going to be our last
episode.
Ever.
Our last time getting together, the three of us, before we see each other in Austin.
Right.
Probably.
Well, there's a spoiler.
What?
For Austin.
Well, Stacey's going to Austin. She's there for Bunheads.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm the one that spoiled it.
Yep.
Whoops.
Whatever, we're just going to go eat barbecue.
By the time this comes out, we might have already done Austin.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
So it's all out of whack. Or I might just put out like 5 episodes in 1 week. No, that's
don't do
much.
That.
It's all like a dump. It would be terrible. Any last words?
No, just Michael Roy Boat Ashore will not get out of my head now.
Hallelujah. Boat Ashore.
Hallelujah. Michael rowed a boat ashore.
Come on, Michael.
Hallelujah.
I will.
Michael rowed.
If you're out on the road, feeling lonely.
Hallelujah.
I'm Gil.
Still, I'm Gil.
Call my name and I'll be there on the next train.
Choo-choo.
You need.
Anywhere
that you tell me to. If you need,
need
me to be with you, I will follow.
Oh, oh, oh,
ow, ow.
Row your boat.
I just had something in my
throat. I will row it. Row your boat ashore. Michael, row your boat. Michael, row. Row, row, row your boat ashore. Michael
Fowler, row that boat.
I will.
I'm Gil.
Goodbye.